Welcome back, folks. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And this is a conversation I've been wanting to have for some time. Back in 93. The Nation of Islam was contracted by then Housing Commissioner Dan Henson under the Schmoke administration to patrol the high-rise and other housing projects, and other public housing projects, where the numbers in that year were 345 murders in the streets of Baltimore that year.
Almost like last year,
right. Yeah. And it was explosive. And they were brought in. You know, for 2 years they did this, and we covered it pretty intensely back in the period between 93 and 95. And then in 1995, Minister Louis Farrakhan had the Million Man March, and then the federal government, housing department, said, no, you cannot pay the Nation of Islam any longer to patrol the streets, and Henson reluctantly pulled the contract from NOI. But we're going to reflect on what happened that period with Minister Carlos Muhammad, who, of course, is the Baltimore representative for Minister Louis Farrakhan and the student minister for the Mosque Number 6 here in Baltimore on Garrison Boulevard, who was there during that period. And so good to have you here again, Carlos. Always good to see you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Steiner. Always a pleasure to be here. And you know, we've been doing this a while.
Yes, good to have you in the studio.
So, yes, sir.
And you all can join us at 410-319-8888. Email us at talkatsteinershow.org. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. But do call in 410-319-8888. I'd say go on our Facebook pages, but there's so many birthday messages that I might not find your message. So call in 410-319-8888. Do appreciate those birthday messages. but let's take us back to 1991 and the contract that was given to the Food of Islam, actually, right? Nice into that, too.
No, actually, it was given to Nation of Islam Security Agency, Incorporated, which was founded by members of the Nation of Islam in Washington, D.C. in 1988 because of what happened in the same way that it happened here. Our work as followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the minister's Minister Farrakhan's leadership has always been to be engaged with the community, to go out in the community and try to attempt to save our people from the conditions that they're in, and also try to make our communities a safer and decent place to live. And as a result of the brother selling the Final Call newspaper in Mayfair Mansions in Washington, D.C., and Paradise Gardens, they saw that the neighborhood was basically run by drug dealers and that grandmothers could not come out. Children couldn't come out and play. And as a result of this, the brothers kept going back and kept going back. And they took it as a mission to help clean that neighborhood up, not for money, but because of our love and our spirit to want to make our communities a decent and safer place to live. So as a result, because of what happened, the HUD gave NOI Security, that was started from that, a contract to patrol those neighborhoods, and then it spread throughout the country. So fast forward to 1993, we were doing the same kind of work in the housing projects and in many different neighborhoods throughout West Baltimore. And so the same opportunity came up because of the success that had taken place in Washington, D.C., as well as Pittsburgh and other cities.
One interesting thing to point out here is that I remember very well when the contract was given to you all to patrol the high-rises and housing projects in Baltimore, a company had it previously, and for the same money, a little bit less, that you took for the contract, you were there 24/7.
Yes.
They can only supply one guard for part of the day with that money before you arrived on the scene.
Yes.
Then you changed the entire scenario of having men and women from the nation unarmed walking through and having a guardhouse, but patrolling the places and being at the entrance and talking to people. So it was a very – what you set up was a different way of looking and handling the situation.
Well, the beauty of what took place when we actually received the contract is that we were already engaged with the community for years. When you look at Flag House, when you look at Murphy Homes, and many of the followers actually came from those or grew up in those areas. So we were already familiar with the people there due to our work in general. When the contracts come, and let's be clear, though the main employees started with members of the Nation of Islam, we were in a equal opportunity employer. So actually, we gave jobs to many of the residents that actually lived in the community. And so that was a beautiful phenomenon that came out of that. But yes, it did begin with the followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so we were able to expand from, like you said previously, one guard at a booth to nine guards, not sitting in a booth, but actually patrolling and those areas 24 hours a day. As a result, the history shows that the Housing Commission said that where they were spending almost $40,000 a month just in elevator repairs, that just in the first few months that we were there, that number of amount of money went down to just $3,000 a month. So
that's an important point, because it wasn't just it was the vandalism that took place inside of the housing project you're talking about, where they had to keep repairing the elevators, and that stopped when you were there.
Yeah, because the beauty and the power of how we're trained in the Nation of Islam, though the media has always attempted to maim Minister Farrakhan and those of us that follow him as being haters and always constantly in a controversy about that and being anti-Semitic. The reality is we go with a spirit of love. So we didn't need guns. We had a heart. And we had love for our people. And that won many of them over. And keep in mind, there were generations of peoples in these housing projects that remember a better time in those locations. But grandma now could come out and walk to the store. The children could come out and play now. And the residents could move freely in those neighborhoods. But at the same time, many of the young brothers that were engaged in drug selling and drug dealing didn't necessarily want to do that. They had become products of their own environment. So, like I said, many of them became followers of the Nation of Islam because of the clean representation of the employees. Even many of the non-Muslim employees adopted our way of mannerism and attempted to display high moral character and did. And though they may have never joined the Nation, they said they benefited from being around us and knowing how to deal with people. And lastly, I'll say this. Even after the contracts were taken back, many people that we run into throughout Baltimore still have security jobs with other firms because those firms found out when you worked for NOI Security, you were definitely somebody we wanted because you patrolled the most crime areas in the city. So many people have employment to this day because of NOI Security.
So then, on the way to the phones, Nathaniel and Clarence, we're going to come to your calls and do call in here, 410-319-8888. We're going to explore what this lesson from the past teaches about where we may be able to go now in the future in terms of a different model for public safety here in Baltimore. One of the things that I know that the Federal Housing Department of Housing said that was that there were, I forget the exact number, 48 people who were working for NOI Security were former felons. Mm-hmm. And this was a reason to stop the contract. That was one of the reasons they used to stop the contract. When in fact, that was the reason, one of the reasons why it may have worked.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I remember from that moment, they did everything they could to do that. And I remember Kurt and Kurt Schmoke and Dan Henson tried to resist but couldn't stop the forces of the federal government.
Well, in that case, when the contracts started, as you know, Mr. Steiner, the success was so widespread rapidly that they wanted to extend the contracts into the other buildings throughout the city that weren't ready yet, but they sped up the process. But of course, when you're dealing with security clearance through the Maryland State Police, there is a grace period in which even if you're hired, you can begin working, even if you do not yet officially have clearance because it takes a certain amount of time. And so when it came back that many of those persons did not qualify for clearance, they were replaced with members that could. And so that was where the controversy, though it came up, it was never the case that we were absolutely trying to employ people against the requirements of the Maryland State Police. It's just that when that time came and those persons did not fit that criterion, we had to do what we had to do to make the adjustment. But our ongoing fight with the representative Peter King from New York, who was definitely out there to try to destroy the success of the Nation of Islam Security Agency, basically because he made up the evil lie that we were funding the Nation of Islam
right.
from the contracts that we were receiving from the federal government at that time.
You know, one of the things I think, a couple of things to add here is also I remember very well from that moment that the violence was subsided, the killings and shootings were less when
yes.
the unarmed men and women from the security firm that you ran patrolled those high-rise houses. And I think that's an important thing to talk
yes.
about. And I was thinking about, you and I talked about this when we ran into each other over at the Red Line thing mm-hmm. a few weeks back, that if you and or Safe Streets and other groups who worked together were patrolling the neighborhood the day the young 13-year-old boy was shot by the Baltimore City Police because
yes.
he had a toy gun
mm-hmm.
in his hand. If you were on the street that day or the men and women around you on the street that day, the situation would have been handled, I think, very different than
yeah.
the police handled it.
It wouldn't even have got to a point where even if the police came, the situation would have already been handled just on general principle. And big shout out to Operation Safe Streets, who is doing an excellent, excellent
Absolutely.
Job throughout the city. They are our allies. We are their allies. And we're committed to making our communities a decent and safer place to live. But you're right, because first and foremost, Mark, who better to engage the residents of the cities in some of these impoverished areas than those of us that at many times came out of those areas? But we didn't come out of the areas to abandon the area. Now, because we've been able to come up to a better way of understanding and thinking, is to go back and help. But that also means that our children need better role models. Because what they see on television and the music videos and what they see in the movies and what they see out in front of them many times develops in their mind as the only things to be. So the FOI, the Fruit of Islam, the members of the Nation of Islam are kind of like to children sometimes like superheroes. They've never seen. It's funny. We were out in the community just a few weeks ago and walking. And a little girl looked at these brothers in their nice suits and ties and said, "Where did you get your costumes from?" So because, and it didn't hit us that she just had never seen a man dressed in that kind of attire. But it was cute. It was funny. But it also shows that they need to see another side. And so, like you said, this community engagement is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 2016 reminded us in 2015 on the 20th anniversary that we must go out and make our communities a decent and safer place to live. And this is happening. If you just, and maybe we can come back at another time and talk
sure.
about it. The model in Atlanta, Georgia, that's taking place in a place
at
called the
moment.
Beloved. Yes. Just going in, cleaning up and making the community a safer place to live, feeding and clothing people. This is being duplicated all throughout America. And right here in Baltimore, we begin our first initial step with conflict resolution training so that we can help subside these massive amount of murders that took place in 2015 by engaging many of these factions to at least sit down and discuss. Because what we found when people are murdered or when these beefs, quote unquote, are taking place, when we sit these two sides down and we ask them, "What are you really angry and fighting over?" And most times they can't even say. So the fact that we can get them at a table to discuss the situation and eventually put down the gun, let the beef go, is something that is taking place in Baltimore as we speak, working with Operation Safe Streets, working with other groups and organizations, because something must be done. But it's sad. That the city knows the track record of the Nation of Islam and the effectiveness of it. But you don't want to necessarily pay us because we're going to do it anyway. But it's really sad that you're paying people for a job that they cannot do and are not successful at. So the question remains, would you bring in somebody that can get the job done and save you more money?
And here the question, because we're going to open the phones here. So think about what we're talking about here, folks, as you're listening to us here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA, to think about what happened 24 years ago
mm-hmm.
in Baltimore And we now have Safe Streets. You've got women from groups like Out for Justice. You've got the conflict resolution folks who are doing mediation work in the city. Suppose we turn to a different model of public safety where the front line wasn't the police, where they actually could do the job they're supposed to do, which is to solve the crimes. It'll stop the crimes. This could actually stop the crimes and change and build community. So how would you think about that model? Questions for Minister Carlos Mohamed. 410-319-8888. Nathaniel, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I can speak about this, you know, from firsthand because I was on those steps in Lexington during the 80s, you know, wasted like 20 years of my life doing that. And when FOI came into the building, like I said, they came in unarmed. And they came in when the brothers in the building were armed, you know, because we're in there hustling. But when they came, everybody accepted them, and, you know, even though things went on, it went on in a different way. Now, when they got rid of the FOI, they bought back Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo come in strapped to the nines, shotguns, all that. And, you know, consequently, today, who is the number one financier of the prison complex? Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
They don't want a revolution. You know, poverty is a business. They want to keep somebody down. And unfortunately, it happens to be us. And now I move ahead. In 96, I moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Minister Mohamed, my brother-in-law, is Minister Williams in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And they did the, I think the 500, when they put the brothers in the tuxedos in Milwaukee.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Just to see that, man, was, you know, it changed you. So, I mean, when y'all have this next discussion, Mr. Stein, I would love to be part of it. You know, I came during the uprising. I called in a couple times.
Because yes, I remember your voice. Yes.
Yeah, I work for the railroad, and I have a training program to get kids trained for these jobs, you know, because these are jobs that, you know, they pay $60,000, $70,000 a year. And 90% of the people coming into these jobs don't have no experience. So I want to give them a pre-apprenticeship, and that'll give them, you know, a chance at least in getting these jobs.
So
yes, the FOI is what's up. I mean, if you put them all over the street, at least to help the police, it would change things huge.
Well, Nathaniel, don't hang up. The producer will pick up
Thanks,
the phone,
Nathaniel.
And get your contact information. And I will contact you for the next conversation and talk more about your idea about getting young people involved and getting some serious jobs is what's part of what's needed.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nathaniel, for that call.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he can attest to it. It wasn't that we just kind of walked into a situation that had been prepared. In fact, we had to come first in order for housing to even come and make repairs. That meant that places that needed to be painted, things that needed to be fixed, couldn't even be fixed until we took our post. And as a result, those areas became clean. Flowers were planted. Trees were planted. Paint was on the walls. The elevators were fixed. Graffiti was scrubbed down. That couldn't even be done until we actually took our post and made it feasible for that to happen. So that says something. And we know, Mark, that there's a few housing developments left because that was one of the other things that the HUD did nationally throughout the country in Chicago and Baltimore, pretty much just tore the high rises down.
But no thought of where the people were going to go.
Yeah.
No thought about
just gentrification at its best with a smokescreen that we were going to bring the people back into better housing conditions. And as we can see, that has not been as successful.
It's gotten worse.
So, you know, we still have Douglas Homes. We still have McCullough Homes. We still have projects out in Cherry Hill. These places are in need of that type of engagement from people that are trained, number one, trained to go into these neighborhoods unarmed with the power of love and the spirit of God to go in there and help make it a better place to live.
And I would think that one thing we've been pushing during this mayoral race is the idea that maybe money has to come from someplace. Maybe it's the police budget to put more money into Safe Streets, put more money into working with the nation and men and women from who have similar mindsets to do the frontline work in communities. To as you say, it's not just about public safety. It's beyond stopping crime. It's about building community.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the major challenges that whoever the next mayor is going to be after November, one of the things that they are going to face is this horrible relationship between residents and the police. There is a total, almost 100%, it's so high, we say almost 100%, distrust
right.
of the police department here in Baltimore. I've watched in a setting with young men that are detained in the juvenile justice system sit in a circle with police cadets to try to have a dialogue. And the only thing that came out of that, Mark, after 2 hours was the young brothers said that they don't like police and we're going to do what we want. And the cadet said, when we become police, we're going to lock you up.
That's right. That's
that exactly was the, that's... And so you're looking at it on the level of new incoming officers, right, who haven't even done the job yet. And a generation of youngsters that have already begun to indulge in crime, you see, so that relationship, even on that level, right there, was no good. And we already can see the effects of that in the city where we are. But something has to be done. And we tell people all the time that have that kind of mentality, I mean, the police is not going to go away. It's a part of it. But relationships have to be made better. And believe it or not, we have a training mechanism that will make those relationships better if the police is willing to take that training themselves and uphold their end of the bargain.
We can hear a lot more about that. Well, let's get a couple of calls in here before we move to our next segment. 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air. Welcome.
Steiner, Minister Carlos.
Yes.
Most of the brothers in the nation, they know me. The older guys, they know me as Gadget, so they know who this is.
Yes, sir.
Because of my electronics background, they call me Gadget. But I look back at the 90s and what you were doing then. You've never ceased to doing that. You've been saving souls one by one, three by three, for my entire lifetime. And they didn't want that then. They ceased the funding, and you know, we don't want this because we're funding the Navy for whatever reason. But now I fast forward to 2016, and there seems to be a desperation from the black community calling for you to continue what you've never stopped doing. But the push from the top coming down, that's something that I'm very suspicious of. This is a different time than the 90s. The situation is much more volatile. And when the top starts to push the front line, behind the scenes, that makes me suspicious. Personal opinion, I would say no. I would just continue doing what I'm doing, what you have been doing my entire life, lifetime, and you know, not put my name out there in the front where somebody could use that against me.
All right.
If somebody wants to offer the Nation of Islam funding to buy houses and actively go out in the neighborhood and change the appearance of the buildings of the neighborhood, you know, or create grocery stores with vegetables and replace some of those corner stores, I would say yeah, you know, because you're still going to be behind the scenes saving lives. So, you know, there's something very sinister when the push comes from the top. That's just my personal opinion, sir. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
And, you know, he hit some
Go ahead. I have a comment about Pastor, but go ahead.
But he hit some very good points. But you mentioned it earlier. It was no accident that after a 2-year run, but gearing up to the Million Man March of 1995, when the world saw almost 2 million black men show up in Washington, D.C. on their own dime under the call inspired by God through Minister Farrakhan. 85% to 90% of those that came to the march identified with Christianity. So the call was bigger, the minister said, than himself.
Right.
And it was about, remember now, the theme was atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility with a call for men to take responsibility to go back and be better fathers, better husbands, and better caretakers of the community. The enemy didn't like that, so they were already attacking. And I have to give a hand to Mayor Smoke. He tried, but he was under tremendous pressure from the federal government that he had to discontinue those contracts. And then around November, December of 1995, that came down. So, you know, this is all a part of the conspiracy of it. But at the same time, you know, Henry Cisneros, who made it very clear of the tremendous impact. But this was coming up from a higher power that obviously Mr. King had access to.
Well, before we take our last caller here, and Nicole, we're going to come to your call in a minute. Just a quick question here to push what Clarence said. I mean, I think there is some importance, though. I hear what he's saying about not being involved in the government, and I completely understand that fear and where that's going. Yeah, but on the other hand, there is something to making it semi-official. So there's a different – we start changing the way we think about how things are done. The part of the problem is that everything that's being done that is positive – not everything, but many of the things that are being done that are positive in the community, in the poorest communities, are all underground.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they have to come to light. They can't just always be underground if we're going to make the kind of change we want to make.
Yeah. But he mentioned something or the previous caller talking about – you know, it's almost appears that poverty has to exist in order for another level of personality and persons to exist the way that they do. In other words, you have to have poor in order to have a rich. You have to have in order to be a master, there must be a slave. In order to be very skilled, you have to have a non-skilled so that the skilled shine. So the reality is, as Minister Farrakhan said, you know, our job is being given to us by a mantra from Scripture and from the prophets of God. And so we're going to do that work anyway. And the Nation of Islam will celebrate 86 years this July in America. 14 years away from a centennial. And that's a big historical note because there are many organizations that did, quote unquote, activism or civil rights that have come and have gone or only exist in memoriam, you know. But we're here and we're here to do our job. We're not doing it for money. But at the end of the day, if you have organizations and people that are effective, then you must bring us to the forefront if you really want the city to be a better place to live. Obviously, then you'll make us make the mistake of assuming that you really don't want it like that, which brings in, as I close this, all of the conspiracy theories of gentrification and the Hopkins system want to take over East Baltimore, University of Maryland wants to take downtown. And so all of these things are in play because the city is still majority African-American. And though there's great flight taking place each and every year from this city, is it that the people coming into power this time around want to change the face of Baltimore, maybe one from black to other diversities? I think that might be another discussion to talk about.
We'll do all that. Nicole, we'll give you one final 30-second thought because we do have to switch to the next guest waiting
to
come in. Nicole?
To you all.
Peace.
I wanted to commend the Nation of Islam for the job that they had done in the 90s because I remember hearing back then, you know, about how order had been restored pretty much to the areas that they were in charge of. And I think that community policing is so important, and the Baltimore Police Department just seems completely unwilling to not only engage in community policing, but engage in it in a way that lets the people know that they are on their side. See, I think that the Baltimore Police Department comes forward, and they still have underlying issues with the people that they are there to protect, you know, instead of them being there to say, okay, we honestly, you know, we respect you, you know, we feel this way about you. It's still underlying issues with them. So I think that the Nation of Islam coming in would be awesome, and I hope it happens.
Thank you.
Nicole, we're going to continue this discussion here on the program and bring in other people and Minister Carlos Mohammed and I talked about this idea of really creating a community conversation about a different way of approaching public safety. We're going to try to make a large conversation in the public and bring it out to the community and bring officials in to talk about this so we can change the nature of how we do things in this town. And I think we can. We just got to push it and make it roll. That's what this is about.
Yes, sir.
Minister Carlos Mohammed, thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you for coming back in the studio again.
Hey,
it's a pleasure to see you,
Mark.
Brother.
And are you born in May?
Today's my birthday.
Oh, happy turn in the sun. And God willing, I'll have one next Friday.
Happy birthday to you. All right. Congratulations on your baby graduating to Syracuse.
Thank you so much. We're very, very proud.
We're going to get a short break, and we're going to meet a young man in town here for a few days, a British Palestinian man who plays the oud and does much more. Stay with us.